every day we learn new information about the evolution of this coronavirus and its impact on all of us. And with that information comes a lot of questions. To help answer some of your questions, we have with us Dr. Naheed Bhadelia. She's an infectious disease physician and the medical director of the Special Pathogens Unit at Boston Medical Center. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, Doctor, we are hearing staggering numbers. 70% of the world's population is estimated or likely to get this virus, and it's an overwhelming statistic to wrap our heads around. But if that's true, is there any way to get around that? Are the measures that we're taking actually working?
Thanks, Tanya. So, you know, I think one of the reasons such big numbers are being shared is because we know that this is a brand new virus, which means we're all vulnerable until we can create immunity through a vaccine. In the medium term, I mean, I think some of the work that people are looking at is maybe people have been exposed to this, unfortunately may have been exposed to this, have gotten the disease, but maybe we're fortunate enough to get on the other side of it and have immunity from that perspective.
And we have a question for you about that immunity that I'll ask you a little bit later. But we've been hearing about this term herd immunity as a way to help slow the rate of this coronavirus. What exactly is herd immunity, and how, if at all, does it actually slow this outbreak?
So the term herd immunity is this idea that if enough people around you are immune to a disease, and that you yourself, even if you have not gotten the disease, may be immune to that disease, because they will not get sick around you, and hence they will not be able to pass it to you. It's an interesting concept overall because, you know, if we can get herd immunity from vaccine, it's great. But if we're depending on a lot of people to get sick, you can't have everybody get sick at the same time, because what that basically results in is a lot more people presenting to healthcare facilities, occupying and requiring beds in hospitals. I don't think we can talk about herd immunity, achieving the herd immunity, at least in the short term. We can look at it as something that we see as a gradual buildup to, as enough people get this infection, you know, at a smaller rate and get to the other side, and until the point where we can get a vaccine.
I want to ask you a little bit more about antibodies. So the Food and Drug Administration approved this new test for coronavirus antibodies. The blood test shows if your immune system has developed coronavirus antibodies. Can you explain how this test will work and if it's even available to anyone right now?
Great. Thanks for asking me that, because I think this, in my mind, the serological test or the antibody test is an important road in determining a lot of the factors we just talked about. The serological test or the antibody test that you mentioned, what those do is they're looking for proteins in your body that your body has built in response to this virus. So if you have an infection, your body builds antibodies. In the short term, there's an antibody called IgM within the first week after exposure, after illness starts, and then the other is IgG, which is a longer-lasting memory. It's a memory of your immune system. And so what these tests will do is basically look for people who have been sick and who have recovered from it. The benefit of this is if you know that you've had it before, then what we know from right now is that there's a pretty good chance that at least in the short or medium term, you are likely to not get infected again.
I see. We have a lot of questions from listeners that are about the everyday development of COVID-19. This question comes from Giovanni Caldero in New York City, who asks, what is the recovery time for the coronavirus disease once your symptoms have already started?
So great question. It's actually highly variable. As I mentioned, we have evidence now that some people get this disease and are not symptomatic at all. You know, may never know they got the disease, so they're asymptomatic. Yep. There are others who may have a very mild course, but we're also noticing there's a subset of people who, for the first, you know, week or 10 days, will have mild symptoms and then could take a turn for the worse later on. So all that to say, it's a moving target, and the range is all over the place.
This next question is an evolution of this question. It comes from Joshua Sims of Owensboro, Kentucky. He wants to know, should you catch COVID-19 and recover, is it still dangerous for you to be around others? Can you catch it again or spread it again?
So for in terms of immunity, what we know is that for other viruses that are like SARS-CoV-2, which is the virus that causes COVID-19, people, when they get this infection, when they're on the other side of it, they do have pretty good immunity, at least against this virus, but it's not lifelong immunity. In those cases, people have it for, you know, between a year or 2 years at the maximum, have those proteins, but the amount of those proteins decrease over time. With this current disease, what we know is that you develop these antibodies. We know from animal models that, you know, when an animal is recovered from this and they're rechallenged, right? That's a study we can't do in humans ethically. We can't reinfect them. We don't want to. But in animal studies, what this has shown is basically that most of those animals are, or all of those animals seem to be immune to a second impact from this infection. So maintaining a physical distance and still having good etiquette, hand hygiene and other things, allows those people who are immune, who are out in the community, not to serve as the conduit through which two people who, you know, between two people, one who's sick and one who's immune, they're not being the conduit in which they carry the virus from the person who's sick to the person who's not sick.
The president has been endorsing the use of this lupus medication to treat COVID-19. Dr. Anthony Fauci says that more studies need to be done. Can you tell us more about this drug?
So the trouble with hydroxychloroquine is the same trouble that, you know, I've seen. I've been at the forefront of multiple outbreaks at this point, and I was part of a couple of the different Ebola responses in West Africa and then in Central Africa. And that's another, you know, disease that's so severe. The trouble, though, is that without good randomized controlled trial and an evidence base, you know, we can never prove the disease is efficacious because we're not sort of controlling for the effect of the drug against everything else. So the data right now is really quite mixed on hydroxychloroquine. There are some studies that show that there is evidence, particularly maybe even early on in the disease, they decrease the viral load. Other studies completely negate that finding. But currently, there is not enough evidence to say that this is a slam dunk or this is potentially saving people's life. And that's an important ethical question because, you know, what we don't want to do is put blinders on to find out what is truly efficacious by focusing on just one thing.
That's Dr. Naheed Bhadelia. She's an infectious disease physician and the medical director of the Special Pathogens Unit at Boston Medical Center. Thank you so much for taking the time and answering some of our questions.
Thank you for having me.